just going to release the anointing. So it's going to be a short, sharp, if you like, ministry time, because I believe God knows what we need. And the most important thing is that we meet with him, isn't it? You know, I was in Uganda in 2006, and it was one of my first trips to Africa. And I remember that particular night. You know, when you have God encounters and special times, I don't know about you, but it feels like it was yesterday, and I remember it so clearly. And I'd been speaking in this church, and I'd gone out with Jill. There was about six of us in the team, and we'd all gone to different churches that night. And one, I had a friend with me, and we went to this particular church. And at the end of the night, we prayed for everybody. And again, I was speaking on the anointing, and God just absolutely zapped the place. And it was like he just came with the wind of his spirit and just blew. And I remember it was a big church. There was probably about 300 or 400 people there. And as this happened, there were little children on the floor sobbing. There were men and women being delivered. There was people on their knees worshipping. And I just stood there looking at what God had done. And as I looked at the pastor's wife I just prayed for, she was on the floor and merely meeting with God, and I just felt to pray for her. And as I prayed for her, the Lord touched me, and I went out in the spirit as well. And as I got up, my friend was watching me, and she just said, "Gosh, what's happened? Like, what has happened here?" And you know, it was the closest thing I've ever known to the glory of God coming in and no one being in control. And I don't know about you, but I hunger for that, where our meetings are just blown apart by God, and God just comes in and does stuff. And we had testimonies after, like, people were totally delivered, set free, like God just did an incredible thing. So I just want to see more and more of that. So as you know, I'm a teacher. I like to teach the word. So I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight, which Beth will be very happy about, I know. Just absorb it. If you want to look it up, that's great, but just absorb what I'm going to say. And a lot of this is basic stuff, but you know, when we speak the word, as I was saying yesterday, you know, God doesn't confirm Sarah, he doesn't confirm ministries, he doesn't confirm any of us, but he confirms his word. And so tonight, I know he's going to come and confirm his word. So in Acts 1:8, it says, you know, very familiar scripture, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Acts 2:1, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." I love that, everybody. "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You know, God always wants to meet with his children. I love your hunger here, the fact that you've come out, you know, you've had a busy weekend and you're still here wanting more from God. And God loves that. He wants, when we hunger for him, he wants to come and fill us even more. And you know, when we give our lives to Christ, when we're born again and then we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, God really wants to use us. And a lot of it is about being empowered. And my testimony really was, I mean, I shared a little bit of it yesterday, but you know, I got saved all on my own, never having heard the gospel before, just hearing it for the first time on the radio and getting saved. And then a couple of weeks later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that was in the November. But I was so, so sick. I mean, literally bedbound. But I just knew I wanted to be water baptized. And so the following Easter, on Easter Sunday, I was baptized, literally carried into the baptistry and carried out again. And the next day, on Easter Monday, there was in Canvey Island, which isn't, you know, so far from here. In Canvey Island, there was a guy called Don Double. You may have heard of him. Do you remember those Good News Crusades? Well, in 1990, Easter Monday, that was my first experience of church. I'd never been to church, ever, apart from the odd wedding or funeral. And I was taken to a Don Double meeting on Easter Monday. And as I saw people singing in the spirit, being slain in the spirit, singing in tongues, hands up, I thought, wow, this is church. This is normal. And I went forward, and I remember Don just looking at me, and he said, "You've got faith, haven't you?" And he prayed for me. He was the first person who ever prayed for my healing. And he prayed for me. And I remember going down in the spirit for the first time. I couldn't understand what was happening, but it just felt so wonderful. And I thought that was normal. I didn't realize that that's not always the way it is. And so I just thank God, really, that I came into Christianity in that way, that I was birthed in that. And my hunger for God just grew and grew. And we would take, you know, I was literally then carried to faith camp and different other camps. And for those of you who were here yesterday, you heard the rest of the story, how God completely and totally healed me. And if you haven't, I think the CD's there. But you know, God wants to have that encounter with each and every one of us, however he does it. And everybody's story is going to be different. But you know, the more you hunger for him, the more he will meet with you. And as I shared yesterday, you know, I wanted to be healed. Of course I did. But actually, that was secondary. I just wanted to know Jesus. And I would spend, literally, I mean, at that time I was so sick that Mark used to take the girls to play group and school. And I would just literally spend 6 hours a day with the Lord. That was my quiet time. And I thought that was just normal. I thought that's what everybody did. And I just used to spend hours worshipping him, praying in tongues, just reading the word. And really that, I didn't know it at the time, but that was God preparing me for what he had for me. And I know we don't all have that amount of time. I wish I had that time myself now. But, you know, it's all about hungering for him and wanting more from him. And, you know, I'm not going to read all of these scriptures because of time. But in John 1, you know, John the Baptist said that, you know, Jesus was coming and he was going to baptize with fire. He was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And, you know, it then goes on to say in Acts 1:4, he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And you know, even before all of that happened, Jesus knew what was going to come. He said in John 20 and verse 22, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I love that because it's just exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden when God breathed into man and he became a living soul, the Bible tells us. And there, Jesus is breathing on the disciples saying, "Here you go, this is a foretaste of what's to come." And you and I are living in an incredible time that we are here in this time in history. You know, when people say, you know, send the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you something. He's already been, he's here. He hasn't gone anywhere. We don't need another Pentecost. We've had the Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit is here. He is in you and me, but he needs to be released from you and me. That's where he is, and the more we grow in him, the more we worship him, the more he will release. You know, I don't believe revival is going to come upon us. I believe revival is going to come out of us because the Holy Spirit is in us. So we don't need to beg God. We just need to thank him and be open to all that he has for us. You know, God wants us to have a relationship with all of the Trinity. He wants us to know the Father. We can know the Father, obviously, through Jesus. And he wants us to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, he is the presence of God, and he is among us. You know, he is everything to me. He is my best friend. He is everything to me. You know, if you flow with the Holy Spirit, as I was talking a little bit about this morning, you know, he will just guide you, lead you. He'll be the best friend you ever had. How many of you have been let down by people? I don't know anybody who hasn't, but I want to tell you one thing. He'll never let you down. I was talking to a lady just before the service. You know, I love that song from Elevation, you know, "Do It Again, Lord." We need to remind ourselves what God has done, and he will do it again. He is a good, good Father. You know, and I believe that we need in this day and hour to be baptized in the Holy Spirit fully, and we need to be speaking in tongues. And, you know, I believe when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, everybody has the ability to speak in tongues. Some people struggle to be released, but I want to tell you tonight, it's available to you. We prayed for a lovely lady yesterday, and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit and released in tongues. You know, nothing is hard for God. He can do. He wants to give you all of these things. In Isaiah 28 and verse 11, it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people to whom he said, 'This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.' Yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was, but the word of the Lord was to them." And you know, I believe that when we immerse ourselves in the Holy Spirit, when we pray in tongues, when we worship him, how many of you know this world we live in? I think I spoke on the rest of God when I came here last time, actually. I seem to remember now. But you know, this world we live in is so high powered, isn't it? There's always something going on. But you know, in God, there is a rest that we can have. And the Holy Spirit brings a rest and refreshing. He takes away all striving. You know, you don't need to strive in your Christian life at all. You just need to flow with Him. You don't even need to strive to receive your healing. You know, if I could talk to my former self, I think I said this yesterday, I would just say, stop striving. Just flow with Him. Just receive all that He has for you. God wants to give you more than you want to receive. How about that? How many of you here are parents or aunties or uncles? How many of you want to bless the children? You know, you want to bless them, don't you? They don't need to beg from you. You want to give to them more. You know, we've got a little granddaughter and we take her out and she, you know, everything she sees she wants at two, they do, don't they? And Mark, you know, my husband, he would buy her everything. And I'm like, no, she doesn't, she can't do that because it's not good for her. But you know, that's our hearts, isn't it? And how much more do you think the Father feels like that? That He wants to bless us. It tells us in 1 John 2:27, the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it taught you, you will abide in Him. And in Isaiah 10:27, it shall come to pass in that day that the enemy's burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. You know, the Holy Spirit is the anointing. What is the anointing? It's basically the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit, if the anointing is there, you know, He will lead you, as it talks about in 1 John there. He will lead you, He will guide you, He will teach you. I'm not saying you don't need to be taught or anything like that, but you know, He is the greatest teacher. He can teach you things from the Word which you've never discovered before. And I love what it says there in Isaiah 10:27, that the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. It doesn't say the yoke will be broken. It says the yoke will be destroyed. So whatever is holding you back, when the Holy Spirit touches you, when the anointing comes, it will destroy it. You know, I often think of the anointing as like God's electricity. Do we have any electricians here? No. Well, my husband decided he was going to try and be an electrician when we lived back in Essex. And we didn't have a lot of money, and he decided that he was going to change a few plugs and do some light work and everything. Anyway, praise the Lord, he never died. But anyway, as he was fiddling, I remember he was fiddling with some light switches, and he managed to do it so that when you pressed a light in the lounge, one of the bedroom lights came on. I don't know how he did it. But he obviously didn't know anything about electricity. And another occasion was one of our daughters decided she was going to try and mend the hair straighteners. And when we heard a bang upstairs, we realized that she hadn't fixed them and she'd blown the sockets in the whole house. But you know, natural electricity has always been here, but it was only discovered fairly recently. But we know we need to know how to work with it, don't we? And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. You know, we need to just learn how to flow with Him, how to work with Him. And you know that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, can override any natural circumstance. That's why people can get healed. That's why situations can change. You know, there's natural laws, but there's also spiritual laws. And, you know, even on an aeroplane, when you get in an aeroplane, how many of you know that the law of gravity keeps the plane on the ground while you get on it, thankfully? Otherwise, we'd all be trying to jump on it, wouldn't we? But it keeps, the law of gravity keeps the plane on the ground. But as the plane goes off, and I'm not a pilot, so I don't know the logistics of it all, but basically, the law of flight takes over once the plane gets up. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. You know, there are natural laws. There are things that affect our lives. But the Holy Spirit is higher. The Word and the Spirit are higher. And as we were talking about yesterday, we need both. And we need to just allow God to teach us, to take His anointing and just change things in our lives. You know, that's why sickness cannot stand under the anointing. You know, in the Old Testament, the power of God was contained. But because Jesus has come, we know the story, because Jesus has come and shed His blood, we can now walk in all the things of the Spirit. because he has cleansed our hearts. And I believe that the anointing is God's electricity, as I say, and we need to know how to allow the Spirit to flow. The more hungry you are, the more you will receive. I want to tell you tonight, you can have as much of God as you want. It's up to you. You know, sometimes we're begging God, please, Lord, do this, do this. And he's saying, but how much do you want it? Because you can have as much as you want. And sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is so important. And that's why I've loved being here, because you're just so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You've got such praising hearts. You just want to be in God's presence. And it's just, it's precious. You know, so many in the world out there are trying to explain away the supernatural. But, you know, people out there are looking for reality. Why do you think all this New Age stuff is gaining ground and, you know, all these weird and wonderful things are happening? Because people want reality. But you and I, we have reality. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be able to release him. You know, we don't need more agendas in our meetings. We need more of him. In Zechariah 4:6, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. And we need to be ushers of his presence. You know, he is here tonight. He's wherever two or three are gathered. He is here. And we need to know how to host him. You know, as I said, I've been hosted so well this weekend. I've been looked after. But we need to do that with the Holy Spirit. You know, I haven't got time tonight to do a whole teaching on his personality. But, you know, he has personality traits. He can be grieved. He can be hurt. Have you ever been in a meeting where, you know, you just sense the power of the Holy Spirit and then somehow it's just cut off and you just feel him lift again? You know, if we will make that place for him, he will come and abide. Not only in your church meetings, but in your life as you walk around. And, you know, I remember, I wasn't going to share this, but I remember once I was on a plane home from America and this girl got on the plane next to me, and I'd been there for 2 weeks. I was tired, and just about to do an 8-hour flight back to Manchester, and I had two seats. And have you ever been on a plane just saying, "Oh, please let me have a seat, it's free, so I can just spread out"? And as I was watching people go past, I was thinking, "Oh yes, yes, yes," because they were just about to close the doors. And then this girl got on, and she sat next to me, and as she sat next to me, she said, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm sat next to you. I've been watching you." And I was like, "Really?" So she said, "There's just something special about you." So I said, "Oh, okay." And then she said, "I'm a Lutheran." She said, "I've been searching for someone to talk to me about the Holy..." Oh, I told her I was a Christian. And she said, I was brought up in a Lutheran church. She said, "I've been talking and asking someone to send me someone to talk about the Holy Spirit." And as she said that, I knew I wasn't going to get any sleep that night. And so I started to talk to her about the Holy Spirit. Our meals came, we carried on chatting, and then I said I'd pray for her. By this time, all the lights had gone down, everybody got their blankets out, you know what it's like. And as I prayed for her, you know, some people receive the Holy Spirit quietly, and some people don't. Well, she didn't. And as I prayed for her, she started speaking in tongues, and she was like, "Oh, praise God." And you know when you know that everybody around you is listening. Well, that's exactly what happened. And when we got to the... During that time, I spoke to her, and she told me that she was coming over to... It was her first time over to England, and she was coming to visit her friend at Bible college. And to cut a long story short, her friend actually came to see me 2 days later. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She got completely healed. And when we arrived back in Manchester that night, Emily went running because I said, "Oh, there's Mark, there's my husband." And she got to him before I did. She threw her arms around him and she said, "I've had the best night ever." She said, "I've met with Jesus, I've met with the Holy Spirit." And you know, I wasn't even tired. God is good. But you know, God wants to set up those God encounters for us. And people will see the difference. They will see the Holy Spirit upon us. We need to be in that place where we are open to him. You know, the anointing, which is just the Holy Spirit's present upon you, the anointing is caught, not taught. You learn so much, yes you do, but at the end of the day, it's about being around his presence, being around like-minded people. Just encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing. I really do. because I think God's going to move mightily in this church. And as you spend time with him, in him, with his presence, the anointing will rub off on you. You don't even have to try, the anointing will rub off on you. You need to have a hungry heart, spend time with him. But you know also, the greater the anointing, the greater the responsibility and accountability there is to God. You know, are there some things that I could do, but I don't want to do, because I don't want to grieve him? You know, I honor the gift that he's put on my life. And he's put gifts on every one of your lives. And sometimes there are things we could do, but you know, just think about, you know, there's that wristband, isn't it? What would Jesus do? But sometimes we just need to think, you know what? Having his presence on my life is more important than any of those things. And God wants you to move in greater, greater anointing. It says in Luke 12:48, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much more will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more." And I want to encourage you tonight, you know, whatever God has asked you to do, he will equip you for, he will anoint you for. But God usually chooses people to do those things that they know they can't do in their own strength. As I was sharing with you, you know, I was the shyest, quietest person you could ever meet. And if you just said to my 10 or 12-year-old self, "One day, Sarah, you're going to stand in front of people and speak," I'd have laughed at you. Because I just know it's not me. But you know, God can equip each one of us to do what he has called us to do. You know, Jeremiah said Jeremiah, the great prophet, said in chapter 1 and verse 6, "I said, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. And the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." This is a good bit for preachers. "Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth." You know, if you're asked to share, and I love how people shared testimony this morning. That's so powerful. You know, it says in Revelation that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You know, when you share testimony, not only does it seal something in you, but it actually encourages other people. So it's been great, hasn't it, Jackie, to hear those testimonies back. And don't worry about what to say. You know, it says in Psalm 81 and verse 10, "Open wide your mouth and I will fill it." You know, trust him to give you the words. And that doesn't just mean, you know, from a pulpit, from the front. That means when you're going around your daily business. And, you know, even before, I was waiting in the foyer to be picked up in the Premier Inn. And I was just stood there with my bag, and bless him, this guy came up to me, and he said, one of the staff, and he said, "Are you okay? You know, is everything okay?" And I said, yeah, I'm just waiting some friends to pick me up. And he said, "Oh, you going anywhere nice?" Well, he asked. But that led to a 5-minute conversation. I told him about Jesus. You know, it's not hard. Just be real with people. And he could obviously see something, you know, that I was excited about coming to church, that he already knew about River of Life, actually, because his partner, he said, she comes to give blood here. So that encourages you, because, again, it's another seed sown, isn't it? It's just being that light, allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through us and in us. You know, and sometimes we have those dreams and we just need to hold on to them. You know, as I was sharing yesterday, you know, when God spoke to me about taking his healing power to the nations, for about 10 years I didn't tell anybody. I just pondered it in my heart. You know, and Mary, it says in Luke 2 and verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I want to tell you tonight, if your dream is from God, it will come to pass, and no man, devil or demon can stop it. I remember years and years ago, like probably 20, 25 years ago, when we just moved to Lynn, and I just felt to start some healing meetings. At that point, I hadn't been on any missionary trips. I was just, you know, doing a ladies' Bible study group, probably about 10 people. And I just felt that we needed to do a healing meeting. And a Baptist minister in the village came and forbid me to do healing. He wasn't my pastor. He forbid me to do healing meetings in the village and to give people false hope. And I was summoned into the, he asked me to come to his office, and all I did, I mean, praise the Lord, he just gave me, because I was much less experienced than I am now, but the Lord just gave me scripture, And I just calmly spoke scripture to him. And the Lord gave me this scripture in Acts 5, and verse 38. It says, if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. And you know, people came to those meetings. People got healed. And in the end, he asked me to go and speak at one of his lady Bible study groups. God can turn things right around, but it's just being resting in him and being confident in what he's called you to do. It says in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure you know this, but in the Greek it actually says, go on being filled. You know, I don't know about you, but I need a top up all the time, all the time. And the more you yield to the Holy Spirit, the more sensitive you will become. And you'll be able to discern more and more what is him and what isn't. As you become closer to him, you'll feel his heart for situations as well. And you'll just, you know, as I go around the nations and I just feel God's heart. I can honestly say, I feel, you know, he loves the poor and needy. He loves people. He loves the orphans. You know, we read it all in the Word, but when you actually experience it and you see them. You know, for example, I'm going to Bulgaria in a couple of weeks, and we work with a pastor over there. His name is Yuli, and when we have the conference, which please don't forget to put your leaflet out, when we have the conference, we do a missionary offering. And I sent the missionary offering to Bulgaria for the first time 2 years ago, and we'd met Yuli. Now, Yuli was brought up in a Bulgarian orphanage under the communism regime. He didn't have a name until he was 14 years old. He just had a number stamped on his leg. And he was forbidden to know God, forbidden. But he knew, he found Jesus under his bed covers in his little bed. And he learned to play the guitar. And there was a little girl a young girl who used to walk past that orphanage. And she used to pray for she was a Christian. And she used to pray for that orphanage. And she used to say to God, Lord, just let me be able to help one little boy in there, one child in there. And her name is Maria, and she married Yuli. And together now, they do work in all the orphanages in the area, and Christians are not allowed into the orphanages, but they let Yuli go in because he used to be an orphan. You know, God will make a way where there is no way. And when I sent the missionary offering the first year, Yuli said to me, Sarah, you're the first Christian ministry that's ever sent any money. You know, and we've just seen God expand that ministry. And as I say, we sent another missionary offering this year, and I'm going back this year just to see what God's doing over there. And last year I went, we actually fed the homeless over there. They came in. But, you know, God's heart is for the poor and needy. People need Jesus. People in the area around here, in the big houses, they need Jesus. It's not just the poor and needy. And you and I need to carry the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to carry that anointing so that we can be all that he's called us to do. You know, it tells us in John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. We are Jesus' hands and feet. He's not here on earth, he's in heaven, but we are here. And he has a job for each one of us to do. And I just want to encourage you as well that the greater the anointing that God has for you, the more he wants to develop our character. So sometimes we wonder, you know, why is it that, you know, I'm doing all the right things, Lord, you know, and all this stuff's happening to me. God's trying to develop your character. You know, as I said to you yesterday, the only things we can take to heaven are souls and character. And he wants to create more in you. It says, there's a famous quote that says, great talent is wasted without great temperament. The greater the anointing God has for you, the more you'll go through stuff. How about that? You won't see anybody who's got an anointing who hasn't been through stuff. 100%. Anybody who carries an anointing has been through it, been through the storm, as we've been talking about all weekend, but they have been through the storm. And they have got that anchor in Jesus, because it's just the way it works. In Matthew 7:20, and I love this, by their fruits or character, you'll know them. Not by how big their church is, not by how many gifts they have, but by their fruit, their character. So allow God to work on your character. And I'm just going to finish with this scripture. In John 15:5, it says, I am the vine. Jesus talking. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Do you know what? There's a real peace in that. A real ease in that. There's real. It takes away all the striving. So don't let the anointing take you where your character cannot keep you. Allow God to work on you. And let him make you into all that he wants you to be. Amen. So how many of you are ready to receive fresh touch of the Holy Spirit? I know I am. You know, someone said to me yesterday, oh, you must be so tired after you've given out all day. And I said, you know what? Physically, I might be a little bit tired, especially after the long journey. But actually, the Holy Spirit, when we are ministering to people, the same Holy Spirit that's touching you has actually gone through me. So you know what? When we pray for people, we actually feel energized, and God will use you in exactly the same way. So I'm just going to pray for you now, and then we'll have some ministry as well. Yeah, Father, I just thank you for your word. And I thank you, Father, that you promised to come and confirm your word. And Lord, I thank you that we are just so hungry for more of you. And I thank you, Lord, that you promised to fill us, Lord, that when we draw near to you, that you draw near to us, and that you want to come and fill each and every person here. Lord, I don't know what they need, but you do. They may even not know what they need, but Lord, you do. And so, Father, right now, I just thank you that in this place, not only will we have that fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, but Lord, you will come and heal people. You will come and set people free, Lord. You will come and pour out giftings and equip people for all that they need. And Lord, we give you all the glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I think we're going to have a few worship songs, and we'll have some ministry down there. As I say, just come ready to receive. You know, if it was your birthday today, Mary, and I had a big parcel for you, and I was about to give it to you, you wouldn't be begging me for it. You'd just receive it, wouldn't you? You'd be expecting, exactly. And that's all we need to do. Just receive. Just simply receive. Amen. Amen.